Hey, y'all.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, girl?
Hey.
Monday.
It's Monday.
No Dave for one more day. It's just the two of us. Nate and Katie. It's the drive.
Oh, happy Monday to you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Busy weekend. Raiders looking good for preseason. Good.
Okay, before we get
and
into
just
all that.
Indigestion to that up.
I know.
Regurgitating Raiders scores.
Your Sunday media basketball game where you regurgitated a bunch of stuff then, too.
I did.
What is the deal with you vomiting when you play basketball?
I'm the captain of team. Play hard. That's all.
Mm. Is that what it is?
Well,
or is it by Sunday night, you've probably indulged a little bit too much into your weekend festivities?
That's a little bit of it. Part of it is not quite being in the same shape that I used to be. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that we only had four guys. So,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Well,
it's all right.
You did like active stuff, didn't you? You played golf.
I did
you
some
had
golf playing.
Family in town, you know, and all
the,
that.
Yeah, and the other part of it is that we haven't. I don't think I've played softball in like 2 weeks either, so I'm not exactly doing things. I don't go to the gym. You know, the most exercise
You're
I get.
Kidding me.
Right, I know the most exercise that I get is we've got stairs in our house, and I sprint up and down them. I ride, you know, quick feet, sometimes two at a time, sometimes two steps. Yeah, well, if they don't get in my way, they kind of like to trip me and stuff like that, but. You know.
I did the exact opposite of you. You think you don't do very many active things. I was in bed or on the couch all weekend.
You were chilling because you still got your
I'm
nose braces in.
I'm still recovering from this nose surgery last week, which I'm hoping that right after the show I go and get these things taken out of my nose and I'll sound a little bit less like Dave.
I got to tell you, you sound a lot better today, though, than you had.
Do
it's progressively
I?
By each day. Like now it just, there's, it's like every third N is stuffed up. Maybe. And it's not like it's only that letter now, too. It's not like a consistent. You're good. I think you're in good shape. Why are you laughing? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm telling you.
I think it's because I feel really horrible still. And everyone that I've talked to over the week, they're like, oh, you're sounding a little bit better. It's like, that's awesome. I can't really tell the difference. I know that I don't feel any
hey,
bit better.
I'm telling you, as someone that hasn't heard your voice in 3 days, you sound better. Over
oh,
the
sim,
from Friday to Monday, it
Let's
sounds
see how
better.
Tomorrow sounds. Hopefully
yeah,
tomorrow is much different.
Well, we'll see. I mean, but
it
if
better
you want
be
to call
I have
in,
some kind of a speaking engagement I have to go to tomorrow, where apparently I've got like a 25-minute speech I have to give.
Right. And so, what exactly
That's
is your plan
out.
For that? Because when was the last time you spoke extemporaneously for 25 minutes? I mean, because that's it, right? Like, you know, you're not going to, what are you going to maybe have like a cue card? But
I'm not really one to do like write out speeches. This is like a rotary luncheon.
You're going to wing it for 25 minutes, huh?
Well,
you want to practice?
No.
You can have the next 10.
I mean, I
kind of
talk for a living so I can come up with stuff, you know? The problem is I believe, and I'm trying to get the clarity here, it's the Kings have, they asked me to speak at this rotary luncheon tomorrow. And so over the weekend, I contacted the guy and, you know, he just kind of wanted to go over what it was going to be like or whatever and give me the details. And like in the email, he's like, I've been told that you do not need a overhead projector for a PowerPoint presentation. I'm like, no, like PowerPoint, what the heck am I supposed to be talking about here? You know, it's my understanding of it is, and this is the worst, Nate, is to come in and talk about the Kings and about myself. I'll talk about the Kings. I do not like talking about myself. What? What do you want to know about me? Like, it's awkward. That's awkward to me. Yeah, that's awkward. I mean, you go and talk about yourself for 25 minutes.
You made it 50 seconds right there.
That's not about me, though. I mean, I guess in a roundabout way it is. You're kind of being... It's Monday. It's Monday, and I haven't had an opportunity
no,
to
fine.
Punch you in the face
just,
yet.
I was just giving you a hard time. No, get back to the PowerPoint thing. That type of stuff always worries me when, you know, when like you're preparing for anything like that and you get an email that says, oh, so you're not going to be needing XYZ for this. And you're like, what?
A PowerPoint?
I hope not. What were you expecting from me?
It's a rotary lunch, so there's like 150 people there, maybe.
Plus, you don't want to do a PowerPoint for something like that.
I spoke at my college graduation in front of like 10,000 people.
Gross.
I think I can handle the rotary lunch. I really hope so.
Yeah, well, and you didn't need it. You don't want to use a PowerPoint.
No.
Like, the second you put up a PowerPoint, people tune out.
Yeah.
Because that all that says is I'm about to lecture you now, so you don't want anything to do with that. So, you know, we've got...
I really prefer flying by the seat of my pants.
The accomplished orator, Katie Christensen, here, who's spoken in front of 10,000 people at a UC graduation.
Yeah, that was insane.
But lasted all of 50 seconds right here on the show this morning. So you too can talk to her at 339-1140, 800-920-1140.
And so let's I'll pull up the text line too.
That's right. We can fight during the break, Katie and I can. But we probably won't fight as hard as those Raiders did against the Cardinals, right? That was my little transition there. I mean, it's preseason football, Katie. Yeah, flawless, right? You shut your mouth in there and press the buttons that are correct,
Matt.
31-10, the Raiders get a win their first preseason game over the Cardinals. Derek Carr played just two series. How about that George Atkinson the third?
Let's start with Derek Carr. Let's say Derek Carr and the starters.
Right.
It's not just him. He wasn't the only one.
Well, this season's about Derek Carr, to be honest. Oh, okay. And I mean, if you saw anything that was interesting, to me, 3-7, 44 yards, that's not much to, once again, Matt McGloin showed he's a capable backup. I think Connor Cook, he did reasonably well for a guy that's essentially, fighting for a job. They need to have him on the roster because his dad is like a world famous Twitter troll.
You know what? At some point, that's what you're going to be reduced to.
I don't think so.
I really do.
I don't have the output on that. I mean, maybe. Anyway.
Well,
Raiders did fine.
So,
the 49ers didn't.
I think the greatest thing that came out of all of that is some people will say a win, but I don't think that really matters. They went into Arizona and they got a win. You saw the starters come out and play a couple series. Did you watch that game, by the way?
I caught parts of it.
Caught parts of it. So the starters came out and played a couple series. But other than that, it was just you're seeing like a third string quarterback go out there and do a pretty decent job, you know?
I think that stuff is interesting when you see – it's kind of like watching – to me, at the NBA All-Star Weekend, the rookie versus sophomore game is always interesting because the guys that play well in that, although they might be struggling throughout the regular season, I like to see guys playing against their peers.
Yeah.
And I think that's a pretty good way to see, to project out, how's this guy going to stack up against the dudes that, when he's on the other side of the vet with 3-4 years in the league and everyone's younger stuff like that. I think you can kind of learn a little bit from that.
Well, I think the good thing is they made it out of the game. You had Connor Cook that came in and played the majority of the game. You had Derek Carr that started and played a couple series. Then you had McGloin come in and he played some, and then Connor Cook comes in. And they were able, to do fairly well after that. I believe it was like 17-10 when Cook came in, and they ended up winning 31-10. But to make it out of the preseason, there were several injuries in the first preseason.
Yeah, Mario Edwards went down.
Yeah, but I mean, for Edwards Jr. to come, and that's like a hip thing, isn't it, I believe?
It's an apparent leg injury.
Well, yeah, and it looked pretty bad from what, I had read. It's like, it looked really, really bad, and it looks like he's going to miss a lot of time. And then the Raiders came out and say he's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. They're hoping that they have him in the opening week against the Saints. But just in case, they're so loaded defensively that injury, if that's all that they escape out of the preseason with is just that one injury, it's not going to be a huge impact for them. They're so loaded on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and we'll be able to keep an eye on that as we're going to talk to Scott Baer at the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. We'll have him on at 7:30. Plus our typical Monday guest, Sean Salisbury, is going to be here at 8 o'clock. We'll have Sean. We got 4 down territory today. Plus, the Olympics are just humming right along. And the U.S. swim team is cleaning house, among many other things. And the 100-meter sprint finals were last night. Lots of good stuff to go on with the Olympics. Plus, you've got the 49ers had their preseason opener.
That happened.
On Saturday, a friend of mine, Kyle, who was in here, his folks have season tickets and have since the Candlestick days. And he got a hold of me on Saturday and said, hey, do you want to go to the Niners preseason game tomorrow? And, I had my family
in
town. I was kind of busy. We had basketball yesterday. So
Would you have gone if your family wasn't in town?
I was going to say is I was like, dude, I would love to turn you down on moral grounds, but I actually have an obligation for this one. I would love to be able to say to you, no, they're not getting my money. But instead, actually have an obligation, but thanks for...
Do you remember back on Friday when we talked about the whole quarterback issue with the 49ers and who's going to start and does it really matter because it's a preseason game. And then fast forward to Sunday when Colin Kaepernick doesn't even play because shoulder issues.
Arm fatigue.
Well, you remember, shoulder issues. Yeah.
Well, we'll see how that all shakes down. But you remember a couple of weeks back, we were speaking with Sean Salisbury, I believe, for the first time. Yeah. And we've been told by more than one of our guests, you know, keep an eye on Jeff Driskel. Not necessarily to be the starter, but hey, this guy is maybe a little better than we think. Chip Kelly, we think, kind of likes him. If Colin Kaepernick isn't playing in any preseason games, I don't know, man.
Yeah, but he might
just find his way off the roster
exactly.
And not get his trade.
That's a possibility.
We'll see how that goes. All right, we're going to recap some Olympic action over the weekend because there's a really good American swimmer, a pretty good American sprinter.
Maybe you've heard of him.
There's like 4 or 12 really good American swimmers. It's all when we return on your home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. Back with you on The Drive, Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen. Dave going to be joining us tomorrow. He's still taking advantage of his birthday time.
Yeah. Talk about like a difference between last year and this year in terms of birthdays. Last year, on his 40th birthday, I went over to his house and couldn't even get him out of bed. He was so depressed.
Right. He said he was a wreck.
This year he's living it up, golfing in L.A. in celebrity golf tournaments, going to, like, comedy clubs. Crazy.
Got a little help from his friends this time
yes,
around. That's all.
Yeah. You know what? I tried to help him as a friend last year, but I don't have my own jet, so apparently my help was not.
You know, Katie, I think you could probably help him out a little bit closer to home. You won't need a jet if you hook him up with tickets to Monster Energy's Aftershock Music Festival.
You know he wants to go.
Yeah, it's coming. October 22nd and 23rd at Discovery Park, featuring Tool, Slayer, Avenged Sevenfold, Korn, Primus, Disturbed, and more. Tickets are on sale now. For more info, it says, I'm totally Ron Burgundy-ing this. It says, for more info at aftershockconcert.com. I think you guys can interpret what that means. You can get more info there, or whatever it might be.
You can do it.
Aftershock Concert Team. Anywho.
Disturbed.
Hey.
There's all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Like, you know these things. Like, what are some of the other names? They kind of sound like...
Korn, Disturbed.
Korn, you know.
Tool, Slayer.
Tool,
Avenged,
Slayer,
Sevenfold.
Yeah.
So, anywho, over the weekend, you know, the U.S. Olympic team, we talked about swimming, and we'll get to that because Michael Phelps is still doing things. But I want to get to a couple of firsts here for the U.S. team. Sarah Robles becomes the first U.S. weightlifter to medal at all in 16 years, taking a bronze with a combined lift of 286 kilograms.
How many pounds is that?
I was kind of hoping you as our resident, it's 630 pounds, by the way, but I was hoping you as our resident, you know, former European or something like that.
Yeah,
you would have
an
idea of the exchange rate.
No, exchange rate. We're not talking about currency here, Goodyear.
Kilogram to pounds. It's an exchange rate. Anyway, 630 and a half pounds combined
wow.
lift for Sarah Robles. So that's no woman had medaled in the event since 2000. No male weightlifter had found the podium since 1984.
The only thing that I can think of when you tell me that, and I'm sorry if this is just highly inappropriate, but I'm being honest. The only thing that comes to mind when you say how much she just lifted, which was 630 pounds. I'm thinking like some kind of hemorrhoid cream is necessary.
Phew.
Is that like in a gift bag at the Olympics for the weightlifters?
Talk about it. I mean, I'd be blowing out a lot more than a hemorrhoid, I think, if I was trying to do that. And then you've got Michelle Carter winning the women's shot put, the first American woman to win shot put gold. And, you know, watching the shot put and the discus, both to me, not only are those just like massive, powerful human beings, but to be able to throw those things that far, 20.63 meters for Michelle, for Michelle Carter, that destroyed the U.S. record. And again, the first American woman to win that event. So
there's some good stuff over the weekend. Did you, I know, did you read, I read your blog.
My volleyball blog.
Yeah, your volleyball.
We're both
volleyball
drunk this morning. I like that.
I'm drunk on this Irish cream coffee creamer. Mm-hmm. It's lovely. But no, I watched actually last night the women's volleyball final, or it wasn't the final, it was to get out of pool play. It was the USA
versus
against
China.
And it was actually a really great game. But it made me think about your whole, you know, volleyball blog and why you need to be watching it. It's crazy to me. Like, you think of like Michael Phelps and all of the medals that he's winning. Then I realize, like, to win a medal in a team sport like basketball or volleyball, you have to go through so many rounds mm-hmm. of play to get one medal. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, swimmers like Michael Phelps, you have to go
couple
through
a couple of heats, a semifinal.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing as track and field or whatever. But I'm like, dang, like, they have to really, it's over a long period of time that this team sport, all these people have to be able to come together and make it happen. And the USA, you know, women's volleyball team is actually dominating right now, which is good to see. But who has not been dominating, and it's a little bit scary, is the men's basketball team.
Yeah. There's part of me that enjoys this. I mean, because number one, they're still winning. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Number two, it just absolutely pees all over the hot take that we should have sent our amateurs. I mean, you know, Bill Simmons wasn't the only one that threw that out there before the Olympics. And it was a silly notion then. And it's been proven even more silly as the games have gone on.
I don't understand that concept anyway, that we should be sending basically college players is what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Right. But the rest of the teams, the other countries, have multiple NBA players on their national team. So that doesn't really make sense to me when people come out with that. And I don't understand how, you know, you're going to say that you've got, you know, Phelps, who's what, 35 or something like that. Usain Bolt, who's 30. Like, you've got guys that are in their 30s that are longtime professionals that are competing in other events. Like, why is that the case for the men's basketball team that they should be sending amateurs? I don't get that. That logic does not make sense to me.
Well, what it really comes back to is arrogance in a way. I mean, that's all because this is a French team that, again, the U.S. wins 100-97.
They beat Serbia, who they beat in the FIBA finals 2 years ago, but they beat them by like 37, and they only escaped by a 3-point deficit in this game.
So, I mean, you've got guys that are maybe having a little bit of fun in Rio. I don't have a problem with that.
No, that's not at all what it is. Do you really think that's what it is? Because if you do, you're just deluded.
What are you talking about?
That's not at all what's going on.
Why not?
Because what's really happening here is you have a group of guys that this is by no means the best group of Americans. You've got all kinds of guys that are not playing on this national team. Guys like LeBron James and Steph Curry and the list goes on of the people that said, you know, Kawhi Leonard being one of them for whatever reason. No, we're not going to play on this team. This Olympics for various reasons, Zika might being one of them, but injuries and long NBA seasons being the other. But to me, what this is a team that has had 3 weeks of practice together. This is not even close to the team that won the FIBAs. They're younger. I think the average age on this team is like 28. They're so athletic. They're so long, and they are absolutely not playing into their strengths. They're trying to play a half court game with teams that are probably a little bit more physically dominant and aggressive. And why are you
better
not
at the international game?
Yeah, at the international game, it makes a big difference. And nothing against Kyrie Irving, because he's playing well in terms of what he's scoring and producing numbers, but he's not the answer for running this team. And I think this is why you're seeing so much one-on-one play. The offense is sticking. People are holding the ball. We're seeing Kevin Durant like dribbling the air out of the ball on the wing. Like, it's just, they're not playing as a cohesive unit.
When two of your top players are Kyrie Irving and Carmelo Anthony, I mean, bless their souls for understanding that the ball is round.
Yeah.
But I think we, but I think we saw that even in the, what is that? The game against Australia, where they managed to pull it out because Carmelo and Kyrie got hot.
They got hot.
You know, it had nothing to do with moving the ball. It had nothing to do with team play or any of that. Those two guys got hot and carried them. And, you know, that to me was a mild concern at the time. But you look at that roster and you think, there's always going to be someone that's going to get hot. That's the bonus of having that much talent.
The thing is, like, someone has gotten hot, but no one has really played well over the entire stretch.
Right.
You've had guys pop up, like Klay Thompson had a great game the other day. He popped up. He had not been playing well. But I saw this crazy stat on Carmelo Anthony, who has probably been the best player so far for the U.S. in the Olympics. In 2012, when they won gold, his one-on-one percentage, his individual percentage was like 13% of the offense came off one-on-one play for him. It's like 25% of his offense is coming off of one-on-one play of him just creating his own offense. So to me, it's such a telling stat in the sense that you've got really, really great guys. Every single guy on this USA roster, they're phenomenal NBA players. There's no doubt about it. However, that is not how you can go into an Olympics and dominate. They last in the 2012 Olympics, I think it was like an average, you know, margin of victory of like 33 points a game. And you're seeing 10-point games, 3-point games. And to me, it's just being displayed in the sense that these guys are great, but they don't play well together. They've had 3 weeks of practice together. It's not cohesive. Defensively, they're not cohesive. They're not communicating well. I think it would get better over the stretch, but right now it's just not pretty. But they're winning, and people are going to have an issue with that because they're not dominating the way that America is supposed to dominate.
10 first-time Olympians, 6 of which are playing in their first major international tournament for the U.S. team. But, hey, they're still winning. It's no big deal. Raiders had their first preseason game.
We're supposed to tell them it's no big deal so people can stop panicking. Yeah.
Are people panicking?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are panicking. Yeah. Like, why aren't they winning the way they're supposed to? Well, they're winning. There's that.
Hey, guess what? There's good basketball outside the United States. Shocking. I know that's just stunning.
We don't own it.
My goodness. So there's that. Take a look back at the Raiders' first preseason game because football is officially back in a way. For a series or two in the beginning of the first quarter. We'll have Scott Bear at 7:40, but when we come back, it's Raiders football. Raiders, Cardinals, we'll tell you some of the things we saw. It's The Drive on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Raiders.
Hey, we like the sound of Greg Papa doing that. Hopefully we'll hear it a lot of times this year. First one of the season there is Raiders get themselves an early preseason win. 31-10, your final. An inspired effort by George Atkinson III. 5 carries for 97 yards and a couple of scores. Scored on runs of 53 and 35 yards. A kid getting after it. Listed as the 4th-string running back. Earn yourself some PT,
that's
kid.
Exactly,
I like that.
That is.
Love
you know,
that.
That's the great thing about preseason for kind of the guys that are on the you know, fray, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that you're going to get a lot of playing time. It's completely in your hands. You got to go in
them.
There and make something happen, and you can play yourself into some playing time and a roster spot, for God's sakes.
It's like, and you know, it's like any sport when sometimes you do your best when you have nothing to lose.
Right.
You're a 4th-string guy on the depth chart. You have no reason to be hesitant
right.
about anything on
exactly.
the field. So, you know, congratulations to him. See what kind of run he's able to get, if any, out of that. Because if nothing else, if he doesn't make the Raiders roster, that's the type of performance that's going to get you a look somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, if I was to look at, you know, reach for major things here, right? Listen, they won in blowout fashion. They were up big after one quarter. They never really looked back.
Right.
It was also the first week of preseason. Now, if there's one thing I like, though, it's that on the opening drive for the Cardinals, the defense gave up a couple of big plays, but they only gave up a field goal, a 73-yard drive for a field goal. And that's the type of stuff, it can be really frustrating, but if I'm a Raiders fan, you take 3 points all day.
Right, right.
All day long. So you got to like that because it's not like Arizona can't put up points. You know, you'd love for your defense
to
just
dominate.
Yeah, but
they're in the same position. I mean, granted, this is the opening drive, and so both teams have got their starters in there, and you don't really only see the starters for a couple series at this point in the preseason. But it's one of those things where you haven't, because of the CBA and how things work in the NFL, you haven't really had a lot of live action with pads and all this stuff. So to have a 73-yard drive that ends up in a field goal, you should have no problem with that.
No, that's good.
Like, right? None whatsoever.
I mean, the big thing was you gave up one big play, finding a hole in the defense via the pass game.
Right.
But then you tightened down. And that's something that I've watched as a Niners fan and a Seahawks fan. When those
Wait,
two defenses
you're a
were
fan
there.
Too?
No, God, I'm sorry. That was terrible. I
okay.
am drunk this morning. Apparently, as a Niners fan watching the Seahawks as well
okay.
and seeing them play a lot, I should get roasted for that, and
yeah.
I hope I do.
Can we keep that,
but,
that Matt, can we keep that clip of him admitting he's a Seahawks fan
Just when
fan
I said I was
well?
A Seahawks fan. What you what you see a lot with those teams is, you know, the Seahawks don't give up as many big plays,
right.
But what really matters is don't give up three or more than 3 points.
Right.
You can't. It's tough to get beaten by 3 points. So good on the Raiders there. And you know, it's good to see too. We knew this that Matt McGloin is a solid backup quarterback.
Yeah.
For.
And I'm sorry because I'm obviously a 12-year-old girl. I have a. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it, and then I promise not to say it for the rest of the season. The word McGloin, I can't help but giggle at.
That's fair.
Oh, this poor guy. This poor guy. But that's okay. I'm moving past it now. But, yeah, the good thing is, you know, Derek Carr comes in, plays a couple series, you know, which we expected. McGloin comes in. He gets
out with a swollen groin.
Don't add to it.
Okay, that's
but yeah, cool. You know, he comes in, and that's one of the things. It's such a different situation in Oakland versus San Francisco because you've got Cap and Gabbert who are kind of going at it for the starting role with the 49ers. Cap didn't play this weekend, and Gabbert really didn't do anything to separate himself in that race either. Neither one of them are awing anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Carr is by far the guy.
Yeah, he's already
so
got the job.
So it's like, yeah, McGloin is like, okay, yeah, you're a solid backup. We probably won't see you, but you're a solid backup. And then you got Connor Cook that came in and played extremely well in his kind of, you know, debut. Did you read that? There's this thing like he's talking about. This is what you got to love about rookies. He's so extremely focused and serious about the first preseason game that, like, Derek Carr was trying to hand him some water in a timeout, and he completely just was oblivious to the fact that, you know, it's like, man, he really was focused. Like,
or is insane, but I, you know, what difference does it make if he's on your football team? Jack Del Rio was pretty pleased with his guys after their performance.
What do you expect
inspiring.
Him to say?
No, I mean, that about covers it, right?
Yeah.
A lot of work to do. Going to be a good team this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I feel for coaches because when you look at these preseason games, you know that they don't matter in the whole scheme of things. Really what it is to get a look at guys that are kind of on the cusp and also to play kind of into shape because you have the limitations during the preseason and practice and training camp in terms of what they're allowed to do. And it's just a chance to go at somebody different than your own team, be in pads and helmets and go at it. But in the whole scheme of things, like, what are you supposed to say when you've got your third, fourth string in for much of the game?
Well, was there nothing specific? Like, you know, hey, some of you guys that are fighting for spots,
thing.
Really.
That's
listen, like, hey, I knew this team was going to be good, but you guys showed off your depth out there.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's
even more impressive.
That's
we got work to do. We're going to be good. I'm not like, I don't want to get too critical here.
Yeah, but with football, you've got so many different coaches for every freaking position. So do you think that Jack Del Rio is going to go down the list in the post-game, like, bring it in session and you're giving them all props for a good win? You're not going to go through each position. That's what the position coaches are for.
Why
they're going to go through and say, hey, this went well. We got to do
B-plus.
This.
God, running back.
I can totally see you in there doing that, Nate.
Play by play.
Look,
no,
get
hell
my
no.
list. Get my list. I
keep
need to
it
go
simple.
Through it all.
No, I thought that was great. You just asked me. I was giving an example. Nothing more specific. No, I thought that was great. Hey,
yeah.
You know, we got stuff we need to work on. We're going to be good this year. Bring it in.
There you have it.
That's it. What more do you need out of your first?
Short and sweet.
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
Come on. Don't want to get them too high. It's good. You had mentioned previously, and by the way, we'll talk with Scott Bear at 7:40. A little more Raiders, CSN California insider there. CSN Raiders insider. You mentioned the 49ers quarterback disaster. It happened yesterday. One of them played. The 49ers played. Some things happened in that game. We'll tell you why.
Why they happened? You can do it, Nate. You can do it. Seriously, we're going to talk 49ers coming up next and whether or not Colin Kaepernick, I don't know.
No, it's just I can't even get inspired.
Does it matter?
I can't
yeah,
even get
I know.
Inspired
you can't,
to talk
I,
about that team.
You're a 49ers team. Fan and you can't
Thank
get inspired.
Thank you. It's a drive. Listen to Kate Scott on the call for KNBR as the Niners.
Go Girls!
Yeah. I remember when she started with them, basically doing Matt's job, and here she is.
Nice.
Good stuff for Kate there, and not as good for the 49ers, however. They lost their preseason game.
But this is like one of the times for them that after a loss, they can be like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's only preseason.
Right, because they're going
to
have...
Let's begin into the regular season. It'll be a different story.
Yeah, they're going to have a few of these this year. Your final against the Texans, 24-13. And I spoke about this with early on in the show. I talked to one of my buddies. He had tickets. He asked me if I wanted to go. I told him, like, dude, I have things to do. I wish I could tell you no, you know, on moral grounds. I wish I could just say
no.
Thanks for the offer, but they're not getting my money.
And by get your money, since the tickets were free for you, it just meant at the beer
parking, beer. Yeah. I mean, all that stuff. Like, you can't just go to a game and not do anything. Like, even if you don't drink, you're gonna end up with a bottle of water or a soda or something like that, right?
A $10 bottle of water.
Right. So anyway, they lose 24-13. I think the big story there is that Colin Kaepernick didn't play at all. The talk leading up to that game was, you know, the quarterback, who's going to be, is it Gabbert, Kaepernick, whatever it is. And then we find out Kaepernick's not even going to play because he has arm fatigue, which, you know, let's be honest.
Okay, so
if the guy doesn't have his arm strength,
his
like
arm
he really doesn't have anything.
Last week, we know that he was pieced together surgically during the offseason. What did he have, like three different surgeries during the offseason? But arm fatigue is one thing. But this one, from what I read, is like, oh, it's shoulder soreness. So
I'm probably has just as much to do with anything as like relearning. You know, he had his knee surgically repaired. It was one of the things he did. And, you know, that has a lot to do with your throwing mechanics is having your legs screwed up.
Right.
I mean, and you
know, everything. Yeah.
So
your freaking big toe can be hurt and it can mess you up.
I mean, I got to be real honest, too. I haven't seen Colin Kaepernick actually physically throw a football other than just some of the grainy video from training camp and stuff. So I haven't really seen, I mean, if he's changed his mechanics a great deal or anything like that too. So I guess that's not a huge surprise, but I guess it's going to be a problem when you're, I don't know, not just fighting for a starting job, but if you're not going to be on the field, potentially fighting for a roster spot.
Right.
And, you know, Chip Kelly spoke to that unique little situation they've got going on with those two. So you'll get to see Jeff Driskel. But, I mean, you know, Chip Kelly says things like, I'm not a what-if guy, and I don't like to look at scenarios like that. But all that really means, I mean, it doesn't mean he's protected. You know damn well, if the guy's not on the field, you can't see him. It's really tough to put him on the roster.
Yeah. Well, and everything that
you take it day by day, but if he's never on the field, he's not a player for you.
Everything that Chip Kelly has been saying throughout training camp at this point, the question going in for every team during the offseason is always, you know, and you're going into camp and going in the regular season, it's always about your quarterbacks. I mean, even in New England with Tom Brady being suspended the first four games, it's like always about, it's like they come back and it's like, oh, well, will he start when he comes back? It's like, don't ask stupid questions, but they're going to be asked because that's what everybody cares about is the quarterback situation. And in the 49ers situation and the position that they're in right now, I don't know that that question is going to be resolved even when we're in like week four of the regular season.
Well, the question won't be resolved all season unless Jeff Driskel becomes a superstar. Because, I mean, ultimately, the question
is that going to happen?
No.
I just rolled my eyes
at you. Because the question is more than who's the starting quarterback going to be. It's who's your quarterback going forward. And that's just a question that's not going to be answered. Because Blaine Gabbert is not the answer. Colin Kaepernick is not the answer. And
it's so funny. I thinking back to, like, the text line on Friday when we were talking about the 49ers and there's this one guy that's like, oh, KD obviously doesn't know football because Cap fits perfectly into Chip Kelly's system. And it's like, okay, well, does he?
And the
very
next text.
And then the next text is like, oh, Cap is perfect for this system. It's like, nobody knows right now.
Somebody said, oh, he's terrible. But one thing we do know, and this is something that we've gotten used to over the last couple of years, there were a couple of all-star performances for the 49ers yesterday, and that was out of the special teams and Phil Dawson and Bradley Pinion. Bradley Pinion almost justifying using a draft pick on a punter. Had seven punts yesterday, averaged 38.3 yards.
He's probably going to get a lot of that action.
Yeah, so like the 38-yard you know, average isn't great, but he did pin him inside the 20 twice, and he had a long of 50. Good for him. Phil Dawson hit both of his field goals with a long of 50 and his only extra point. So congratulations to the kicking and punting units for the 49ers for once again. I mean, I'll tell you.
We're going to see a lot of that this year.
No matter how over the last – Let's just call it the last 16 years or so. Between the 49ers and the Raiders, it really doesn't matter how bad either of those teams are. You're going to find, you know, between Sebastian Janikowski, Phil Dawson's been great. you know, Andy Lee for years, Shane Leckler for the Raiders. Like, over the last 16 years, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say, or maybe just over the last 10, that the kickers and punters have probably been the standouts for both of those franchises.
They're the ones really earning their money?
Yeah, other than Jim Harbaugh. I mean, you still get people. Marquette King is one of the best punters in the league for the Raiders, and you still get people that pine for the days of Shane Leckler.
I know.
That's
just always,
right, Matt?
It's always what it's going to be, though. That's just typical.
So, you know, positives for the 49ers.
They were the only Raiders I ever drafted in fantasy.
See? Like, you're money with Sebastian Janikowski. So, Niners got something going for them. It's not the quarterback situation, but we know that they can score 3 points at a time. Thanks, Phil.
You're really having a hard time with this, aren't you? It just pains you to talk about your 49ers right now.
And then, yeah, they're just not that great.
No, they're not going to be.
Well, Vance McDonald got a touchdown, and Vance McDonald catching the ball at all is a positive development.
We're going to get into it later, but there's still a big question mark for me on whether or not we spent all this time talking about Gabbert and Cap and who's going to be that starting quarterback. I'm still not 100% convinced that Cap is even going to be on this roster once the season starts.
I mean, not if he's not playing.
And we're going to get into it later, but it's like, okay, that's something to really think about. All this time we're spending talking about the quarterback race, and it's like, I don't even know that he's actually going to. Is it a race?
Well, you just hope that it doesn't end up with them going, hey, we should have traded him when we had the chance.
Ryan Lochte. Before that money became guaranteed.
Did Ryan Lochte get robbed at gunpoint? Stories differ. We'll have that. Plus, a decorated U.S. Olympian may be retiring. That's all coming up as we've got an hour complete here on your home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League. It's The Drive on Sports 1140 KHTK.